Everyone here tonight on this Lord's Day evening on Sunday night, and I appreciate you all you coming out this evening to worship our God. Before I get started, I was going to remind the congregation that talking about birthdays, my birthday will be on September the 28th, so I just want to remind Brother Johnson not to forget my birthday in the next coming weeks to mention it. I really appreciate that. Tonight we're going to look at a very interesting topic in the Bible. It comes from Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. And if you'd like to go ahead and be turning there, that would be fantastic. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. It's called Nadab and Abihu and the strange fire they offered to God, and the result that happened because they're offering to God on this particular day. We'll read it together in Leviticus chapter 10. Let me open my Bible. It says here that Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took of a censer and put fire in it, and put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who came near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people I must be glorified." So Aaron held his peace. Then Moses called Misahel and Eliphaz, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said to them, "Come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp." So they went near and carried them by their tunics out of the camp, as Moses has said. And Moses said to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons, "Do not uncover your heads, nor tear your clothes, lest you die, and your wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord has kindled. You shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die, for the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you." And they did according to the word of Moses. Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, "Do not drink wine or intoxicating drink, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that you may distinguish between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that you may teach the children of Israel in all the statutes which the Lord has spoken to them by the hand of Moses." What an interesting story here that has taken place. Nadab and Abihu were the sons of Aaron. And if you remember, Aaron was a spokesperson of Moses to Pharaoh during the time of the 10 plagues, and also when the children of Israel were to be led out of bondage. But what had happened here in this story? Nadab and Abihu went to offer sacrifice. They did many times before to God. But on this particular day, Nadab and Abihu changed it up a little bit. The Bible says they offered strange fire to the Lord God, fire that was different, fire that was not acceptable unto God's sight. And when they offered this fire, immediately the Lord recognized it, because you can't deceive the Lord our God. And he brought down fire of his own and devoured them and killed them instantly. Some people say, why would God do this? They just made an honest mistake. What was it about the offering that was so different? It was just a mistake, God. Why was it such a big deal that they offered different fire to God? And it was a big deal, because God would not have struck them dead on sight there. But why was their sacrifice unacceptable? And that's what we're going to research tonight and look through our Bibles to. But before we get into our research, let's take a little background check on Nadab and Abihu. The first writings of these two men come about in the scriptures in Exodus chapter 6 and verse 23. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 23. The Bible says, "Aaron took himself, Eliashiba, daughter of Amminadab, sister of Nashon, as wife, and she bore him Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar." So you see that Nadab and Abihu, as we stated earlier, were the sons of Aaron. And you remember they were the nephews of Moses during this time. So we see that Nadab and Abihu grew up in a family that was full of leaders, people, men of God, that knew the word of God and that knew what they should be doing. They had a great influence in their family, Nadab and Abihu did. And they grew up in the Israelite nation during the time of captivity and also during the flight from the Egyptian rule, from slavery as well. These were two young men who saw many miracles and many signs and many wonders performed by God. For example, they saw the 10 plagues, how God rained down the plagues upon the children or the Egyptian people because of disobeying God. They saw the freedom from Egypt and from slavery. They saw the parting of the Red Sea. They witnessed the defeat of Pharaoh and his army. They heard about the water from the rock and maybe even seen it. And also, they witnessed the giving of the Ten Commandments. As a matter of fact, Nadab and Abihu, as the scriptures go on, we find out they become two prominent leaders of the Hebrew nation. Look at what Exodus chapter 24 says, verses 1. Then he said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and you are to worship at a distance." Now skip on down to verse 9, it gets very interesting. Then Moses went up, and also Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet as it was a paved work of sapphire stone. And it was like the very heavens in its clarity. But on the nobles of the children of Israel, he did not lay his hand. So they saw God, and they ate, and they drank. Nadab and Abihu selected to go up into the mountain and worship God, to be at the feet of God during this time. They were brothers chosen and set apart by everyone else. As our study continues, look at Exodus chapter 28. Exodus chapter 28 and verse 1. Here, Nadab and Abihu is going to take on a big time leadership role. They're going to become the priests of Israel along with their father Aaron. Exodus 28 and verse 1. Now take Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him, and from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as priest, Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. Nadab and Abihu, chosen as priests of Israel by God. They were selected to be spiritual leaders and to serve the people. Priests of God, they were given responsibilities by the Most High God to carry out each day. They were to offer sacrifices for the children of Israel and their sins. They were the elite, looked upon by the people as those of men of important stature and those to be recognized by God. They were to be the peacekeepers and also to spread the love of God. That was their responsibility as a priest. Also look at Numbers chapter 20 or chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. I know this is a lot of background to go through, but they were given very strict responsibilities to carry out and a very important role they had. Verse 22 says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. You are to say unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name under the children of Israel, and I will bless them.'" Do you see the great responsibility that these two men had? They had it all. They were the priests of God. They were chosen. They were the elite, chosen by God. But what happened here in Leviticus chapter 10, though? Why is it that Nadab and Abihu made this transformation? You see, they went from ordained priests of God all the way to offering strange fire and to be struck down by fire from God. What had happened in the gaps in between? What took place in their lives that made them do this? And tonight we're going to look at four different points. Four things that was wrong with Nadab and Abihu's offering. Why was their sacrifice not acceptable? Is found in these four essential points. And number one, their sacrifice simply was not authentic. The fire that came up to the Lord on that day was strange. It was different. It was not what God intended it to be. James chapter 1 and verse 27. James chapter 1 and verse 27 reads, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from from the world. Pure religion, the right way, the way God intended it to be, was found here. These were the duties of Nadab and Abihu, and these are also the duties of us today as well. Proverbs 13 and verse 13 says, "He who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandments will be rewarded." And I believe this verse deals directly with what Nadab and Abihu had done. Nadab and Abihu, on the second point, offered fire not commanded by God. It was not authentic because it was strange, but guess what? It was not also commanded for them to do. Look closely at verse 1 of Leviticus chapter 10. The Bible says they offered profane fire before the Lord, and notice the last part, which he had not commanded them to do. God didn't authorize this, and thus Nadab and Abihu should not have done it at the same time. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 7 through 8. The Bible says here, "For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit." Brethren, Nadab and Abihu did reject what God told them to do. They didn't follow specifically the instructions that God gave them, because on that day, if they would have, everything would have been just fine. It would have been all right and acceptable. But on that day, it wasn't acceptable from Nadab and Abihu. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2 says, God specifically tells us that we are to when we worship, that we are not to add to or to take away from the worship that he sees fit. Not what we see fit, but what God sees fit. Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 through 19. The Bible reads here, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." And on the third point, reasons why Nadab and Abihu's offering was not acceptable was very simple. Nadab and Abihu simply became too big for their britches. And I remember growing up, my mother used to tell me, "You're coming too big for your britches, young man, and I'm going to take care of you if you keep doing it." That's what she would tell me. And this is exactly what happened to Nadab and Abihu during this time. We have determined that strange fire came from God, or came from Nadab and Abihu, and we said it wasn't authentic, and it wasn't commanded by God. But now look at the men who offered the sacrifice. Priests of God, leaders of the children of Israel, the elite of the people were Nadab and Abihu. But don't you think during this time frame that maybe a little bit of pride and a little bit of fame got to them? It happens all the time with leaders. It seems like when you get to the place where you're very comfortable and you like what you're doing, at the same time, many men become prideful and forget exactly the instructions they were taught. And this is what happened with Nadab and Abihu. They believed that it would be all right to offer a sacrifice that was a little bit different, just a little bit tweaked, a little bit different than what God intended. And they got a little bit too big for their britches. Perhaps they wanted to show off or even want to do it their own way. Do you remember the story of Naaman? Many of you remember the story. Naaman was a leader and a commander of the army of Syria. He was loved by the king of Syria, a valiant and courageous man and a great leader on the battlefield. But during this time, he was struck with a disease of leprosy. And if you remember leprosy, it became terrible on a man. Boils would come upon your body. You would be seen as outcasts. And many times you would be thrown out of the city into a colony of other lepers. Well, Naaman was a very important man, and during this time he did not want to die. And he needed somehow, some way to be cured of this disease. And the story continues in 2 Kings chapter 5. And I want to read to you what happened here. Naaman goes up and asks for someone to help him. And they knew a man, and his name was Elisha. And they said he would be able to help you and to tell you what to do to be cured of this terrible disease, Naaman. And here's what Elisha told him in verse 10. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But look at Naaman's response. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hands over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash there and be clean? And so he turned and went away in rage. Naaman, what were you doing? You were just told by Elisha all you had to do was dip 7 times in the Jordan River. Maybe it was a little bit nasty, but guess what? 7 times and you come up and you're cleansed of your disease. But Naaman didn't see it that way at first. See, Naaman, too, became too big for his britches. Naaman's response was out of a rage of anger. He said, why don't you come out in front of me, Elisha, and tell me face to face and call upon God to cleanse me? Do you not know who I am? I'm Naaman, the leader of the army of Syria. Everyone knows me. But that wasn't Elisha's response to him. You see, God was testing Naaman's faith during this time as well. And it took a little while for Naaman to realize and to wise up at the same time. And as the story goes on, Naaman does go to the Jordan River and dip 7 times. And on the 7th time, he comes up and his skin is white as snow. It's cleansed. Why? Because he did exactly what Elisha told him to do. And Elisha did exactly what God told him to do. And that's why it was fulfilled. But you see that Nadab and Abihu did not do this. Nadab and Abihu's pride overtook them and resulted in the sin against God. Brethren, what must we be so prideful sometimes, and must we stand so tall? And finally tonight, the reasons why their sacrifice was wrong and not acceptable was because it was self-centered and not God-centered. Another story in the Bible comes from Genesis chapter 4. And if you remember the story, it was about Cain and Abel, the two brothers. And Abel, as we remember, offered a more acceptable sacrifice unto God because he gave of what he had. He gave of all he had. And if you remember, Abel offered a more acceptable sacrifice, and Cain questions and wonders why his sacrifice was not accepted. And because Abel's sacrifice was centered upon God, Abel solely took time and made the arrangements exactly what God intended them to be. He had it just right. When he offered his sacrifice, he centered it directly upon God and not on himself. We sing a song, none of self and all of thee. That's exactly what God intends us to be. But Abel at the same time gave God of his best, of what he thought it was his best, but it wasn't God-centered. You see, it was self-centered and not focused upon where it needed to be. And brethren, this brings us to the point. And it's very easy. Give God your best. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. Give God your best each day you get up, each day you go out to work or to school. Wherever you are, give him your all. But have you taken a look around at how we worship today? Let's reflect this upon us, the story of Nadab and Abihu. Are we worshiping God according to his commandments? In the book of 2 John, John writes, verses 9 through 11, and I'd like to read this quote to you, this passage. 2 John 9 through 11, it says, whosoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. What is God telling us here? He says, don't receive anything other than the doctrine, the one true doctrine that I've given you, the doctrine given specifically by God. The correct way to worship is found only here in the Word of God. God says all other doctrines are not reliable. They're not truth, but mine is. The one that God intended. What is our worship like today, brethren? Is it self-centered, or is it God-centered? You see many denominations centering on what is appealing or what feels right to them. As a matter of fact, I was driving down the road not too long ago, and I saw a sign that says, "Worship the way you want to worship." What is feel-good worship to me, though, may not be pleasing to God. And also, what seems pleasing to my mind might not be what God intended it to be. And you can look at Nadab and Abihu and just ask him that question. And so tonight, in conclusion, what are we giving God today? Are you giving him your best, your very best, when you come to worship him? Because you're worshiping God, not yourself. Is our worship pleasing to him? Is our worship authentic? Is it done correctly in the right way? Is it self-centered or is it God-centered? And I want you to think about this tonight. The invitation is yours.